God of hope, you call us home from the exile of oppression, of selfish oppression, to the freedom of justice, to the balm of healing, and the joy of sharing. Make us strong to join you in your holy work as friends of strangers and victims, companions of those whom others shun, and as the happiness of those whose hearts are broken. We make our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So this prayer became kind of an outline for what I wanted to share, what I saw the Lord showing to me today, and I pray that it sets with someone's heart this morning as well, weaving all these themes together. But this first sentence of this prayer I was most stunned by. It said, "You call us home from the exile of selfish oppression." What is exile? We hear about this term. We hear about it with the Israelites in exile from Egypt. We hear it nowadays commonly as whole clans of people are removed from their country and wandering in the wilderness. So, but how can our selfishness be equated with a term like exile? It seems really strong for me. But in the dictionary, I read that exile refers to being banished from one's native country. So I think that these words in this prayer describe how God is calling us home from the exile of our selfish oppression. But what does that mean? We're in exile to ourselves, from ourselves. Could it be true? Have we banished ourselves from living our truest lives? The life God created us for because of our selfishness. Could our self-centered attitudes and actions be keeping us from living the lives that God intended? The lives in which we experience the fullness of Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory, his image shining out, serving one another with his same Christ-like humility and love. Exile. This cuts really deep. For me, it's difficult, isn't it, in our middle class, Midwestern American lives to really comprehend what in the world the prophet Isaiah was describing in chapter 61 when he talks about oppression and captivity and ancient ruins. That has to be referring to someone else's story or some sort of myth or parable. Just this morning, in fact, I was talking with Kyle and Amanda about the Prince Caspian and how the children, the Pevensey children in the Chronicles of Narnia, returned suddenly to the land that had been alive and flourishing as their kingdom, and it lies in ruins, and they don't even recognize it anymore. But yet it is theirs. What if that is our life? What if we're living these lives among our own ancient ruins of our hearts, not even recognizing who we are anymore because of our selfishness? Surely this can't be true. We're doing just fine, aren't we? Thank you very much. But yeah, I think it's true. I think it's true about every single one of us. What if we're living in our own singular selfish oppression, a captivity to ourselves? If we're honest, we're all focused on our own dreams. We're concerned with our own personal finances. We want our kids to have everything we didn't have. And even our more holy goals can be selfish. We might wish that we lived as pure or good of lives as so-and-so. We might wish that we could just keep up with this Bible study plan for once. We might wish that we could learn enough Bible verses to just be taken seriously as a Christian. It's all about me. God wants to free us from this. He wants to break open the bonds of the selfish oppression that we're living in, and he wants to call us home, to be at home with ourselves, and to be willing and able to respond to his call to join him in his holy work, to do something for him. He calls us to experience freedom in Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom Christ has set us free. But what does that mean? Where do we begin? How do we step out of bondage, out of exile, and in the direction of home, in the direction of freedom? I think it starts with God's desire to heal us. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain of Jesus. Just dipping your toe in his stream brings healing. Like that woman who was suffering for 12 years, touched the hem of Christ's garment and was instantly healed. He wants to heal us of our physical ailments. He wants to heal us of our selfishness and our pride. To heal us of the bitterness that we harbor, that it's so deep we don't even know we're bitter anymore. And the fear that festers. But here's the thing. He is always willing, but we have to be willing. We have to take a step to say, I'm here. And then we have to admit there's a problem, or at least be willing to ask him to show us what the problem is, to expose our wounds to him, whether physical or emotional, and to invite his balm to be spread out on us. In Psalm 126 that Caleb read for us, it speaks of the work God does in our woundedness. This was one of my favorite psalms during our 5 years of infertility, and it felt alone and sad. And we're so entrenched in our own guilt, our own grief, our own despair. But yet we can continue to call on the name of the Lord, no matter what you're in the midst of. Because he is always at work. Even in the ruins, he is taking one piece at a time and putting it back together, stone by stone. And at the same time, because all of the, you think of those ruins and there's weeds that have grown up and thorny bushes and tangly vines that have taken over, and he's pulling those out by the roots. Those roots of selfishness, the roots of our anxiety and our pride. He wants us to be whole. That is home. He's not calling you to be a different person. He's calling you to be you, whole and fully you, the you he created you to be, not covered in our masks, not hiding in our shame. And he does all of this healing work, the rooting out, so that we can rejoice in him and share that with everyone who will listen. Tell everybody, God, look what God has done for me, like Joni did this morning. Don't keep what God has done for you quiet. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 that Marina read said, rejoice always. Through the thick and thin, there's always something to be joyful for, isn't there, Rachel? Always something to find. God is always good. He continues to sanctify us, body, soul, and spirit. He wants to make us whole and holy. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, he is faithful and he will do it. But we have to let him. But, okay, so if we allow him in, if we're willing to say this, this is the hardest part. Sometimes our wounds are obvious. Sometimes we know I have a problem, and sometimes we don't. Lord, show me my selfishness. Are you willing to pray that prayer? Lord, show me, expose my sin to me for what it really is. Lord, I don't even think I have wounds. Would you bring them to the surface? And he's pleased to do it. I think, from my limited knowledge of the medical field, that healing begins by removing the foreign objects and the dirt and the grime from the wound. Otherwise, it'll just heal right over and keep festering beneath the surface. I've seen enough Grey's Anatomy to know that this is excruciating, that taking, you know, giant pipes out of someone's leg or whatever dramatic story they can come up with, or even just those pieces of sand, like if you've had a child with a scraped knee, and little pieces of dirt out of their wound, it's the worst part of the process. But it is so necessary. Once we begin this process of saying, Lord, show me. Lord, root out these painful pieces that I didn't even know were here. That's where the healing begins, where we begin to come to our fullness, to Christ being made whole in us, to be at home with ourselves. Some of us are crawling out of our skin, not wanting to be who I am right now. But then we can rejoice. Rejoice at the healing and the freedom that we will continue to experience. It's not a one-time thing. It's a process. It's a long process. And then we have to share it with others, because healing isn't even about us. Healing is not about us. It's really about God. It's about God being glorified for his goodness and the good things he lavishes on us. And it is about others, because we can then comfort those with the comfort we ourselves have received from God, 2 Corinthians says. We don't have the strength or the power or the wisdom to help someone else if God isn't already healing us. So let's be God's balm in this world, his salve over all the wounds, because there are a lot of wounds in our world. And then once this healing has begun, we begin to partner with God to become, as that prayer said, friends of strangers and victims, to become companions of those whom others shun, and to be an instrument of joy for those whose hearts are broken. And it begins with confession. So let us come now to the table of the Lord together.